This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures, and today, 114 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is April 24th. Christ is risen. David is again ruling a united people, but the unity is quite fragile. There are tensions between the northern kingdom, which is known as Israel, and the southern kingdom, known as Judah. And the southern kingdom, Judah, is made up of the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. Now, David is from the tribe of Judah, and Saul was from Benjamin. So these two tribes within the southern kingdom are also struggling with each other, since loyalties are split between the two royal families. So that's where we are now. Let's begin. 2 Kingdoms, chapters 20 and 21. There happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah, from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem, clung to their king. Now David entered his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them under guard and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. And the king said to Amasa, "Within 3 days call the men of Judah for me, and be present here yourself." So Amasa went to call for the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the time set by David, who appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants with you, and pursue him so that he does not fortify cities for himself and escape from our sight." So Joab's men, with the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and all the mighty men went out after him. They went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they reached the large stone in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor, and on it was a belt with a sword fastened on its sheath at his hips. Then the sword came out and fell to the ground. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Are you healthy, brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's left hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground. He did not strike him again, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai his brother pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. Meanwhile, one of Joab's servants stood near him and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David followed Joab." But Amasa was soaked in his blood in the middle of the road. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa from the path onto the field. He threw a garment over him because he saw that everyone halted who came upon him. And when he was removed from the road, all the people followed after Joab to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel, to Abel and Beth Makkah and all the Karites. So they joined together and went after Sheba. They then came and besieged Sheba in Abel and Beth Makkah, and they raged a siege mound against the city and stood by the rampart. And all the people with Joab considered pulling down the wall. Then a wise woman cried out from the wall, "Listen, listen, tell Joab to come near, and I will speak with him." When he came near to her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Hear the words of your handmaid." And he replied, "I am listening." So she spoke, saying, "In former times they used to say, 'They asked at Abel and in Dan whether the things established by the faithful of Israel failed, and they will ask in Abel whether they failed.' I am among the peaceable and loyal in Israel. You seek to put a city and a capital in Israel to death. Why are you going to swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, "Far be it from me, far be it from me to swallow it up or destroy it. That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, raised his hand against King David. Deliver him only to me, and I will depart from the city." So the woman said to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman in her wisdom went to the people and spoke to all the city. And they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they scattered from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. And Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Shiva was scribe. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And Ira the Jerite was a priest of David. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired before the Lord. And the Lord said, "In Saul and his unrighteous house there is wrongdoing, because of his bloodthirsty killings when he killed the Gibeonites." So King David called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not sons of Israel, but belonged to the remnant of the Amorites. The sons of Israel had sworn protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. And David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement so that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said to him, "We will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us." So he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Then they answered the king, "As for the man who consumed us and pursued us, who deceived us to destroy us, let us blot him out from remaining in any of the territories of Israel. Let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them in broad daylight before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she bore for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. They hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of barley harvest until the rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done, and they were faint. And Dan, son of Joab, from the offspring of the giants, overtook them. Then David went and took Saul's bones, and the bones of Jonathan his son. He took them from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who stole them from the square of Beth Shan, where the Philistines put them, on the day the Philistines struck down Saul in Gilboa. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there. And they gathered the bones of those who were hanged, and they buried Saul's bones, and the bones of Jonathan his son, and the bones of those who were hanged in the country of Benjamin, in Zilah, beside the tomb of Kish, his father. So they did everything the king commanded, and after that, God heeded the prayer for the land. Now the Philistines were still at war with Israel, and David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi thought he could kill David. This Ishbi was one of the descendants of the giants, and the weight of his spear was the weight of 300 bronze shekels, and he was girded with a club. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "You shall no longer go out with us to battle, that you do not quench the lamp of Israel." Now after this, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gath. Then Sibekai the Hushathite killed Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. And there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jeor-Oregim the Bethlehemite killed Goliath the Gittite, whose spear had a shaft like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was a battle at Gath, where there was a man of strife who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. He also was born to the giant, and he defied Israel, and Jonathan the son of Shimea, brother of David, killed him. These 4 were born as offspring of the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Psalm 94. Come, let us greatly rejoice in the Lord. Let us shout aloud to God our Savior. Let us come before His face with thanksgiving, and let us shout aloud to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King over all the gods. For in His hand are the ends of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are His. For the sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and fall down before Him, and let us weep before the Lord who made us. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, during the day of testing in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me and saw my works. For 40 years I was treated with contempt by that generation, and I said, "They always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways." So I swore in my wrath, "They shall not enter my rest." Proverbs chapter 20, verses 16 through 20. Do not love to speak ill, that you may not be taken away. Open your eyes, and you will be filled with bread. A double standard is an abomination to the Lord, and a deceitful scale is not good before Him. Steps are made straight for a man by the Lord, but how can a mortal man understand his ways? It is a snare for a man to quickly sanctify something of his own things as holy, then after making this vow, to come to a change of heart. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in His day. But first He must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together."
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." The phrase here, "the kingdom of God is within you," can also be translated as "the kingdom of God is among you," or "the kingdom of God is in your midst." Father Thomas Hopko said, "The kingdom of heaven is already in the midst of those who live the spiritual life. What the spiritual person knows in the Holy Spirit, in Christ and the church, will come with power and glory for all men to behold at the end of the ages." So there's this sense that the kingdom is here, but not in its fullest sense, in a way that everyone can perceive it. Father John Breck furthers this notion when he says, "There's an ongoing tension between what has been accomplished and what is still to be done, between the already and the not yet. The end time is already present. The kingdom is in our midst in the person and work of the Son of God, yet its fulfillment lies in the future, when the Lord's reign will summon all people to a final judgment." What this means is that presently there are two things that we know. Firstly, that God's kingdom is here and present, and that, secondly, our struggle will continue until the second coming or the natural end of our life, whichever comes first. So the fact that Jesus and the kingdom are present and in our midst doesn't mean that there are no difficulties or that our troubles are all over. Or if we're experiencing the trials of life, that we're doing something wrong. If we are believers, we are living in the heavenly kingdom in a fallen world. But because we know that the fullness of the kingdom is coming, that Jesus' death and resurrection has already defeated the devil and given us life, then we have hope and even joy in the midst of our struggles. How powerful is this time just after celebrating the resurrection? So when we heard in the 5th chapter of Matthew, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven," there's a sense of the present joy and the coming fulfillment and resolution of all our struggles. Our faith in Christ today allows us to experience the kingdom today and gives us the strength to get through today's trying moments. And tomorrow, we will continue our reading together. Christ is risen. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.